Yo, 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 it's your boy Michael Trillteo, and I'm here with the Ghetto Flower Fresh Flowers podcast. You already know what it is. Got my main man and co-host Q in the building. What's good, Broski?
What's going on, bro? Here once again, man.
We back at it. Feels so spot. Good. New spot. Hey, if y'all ain't noticed, we definitely had a new location. Shout out Foxhole Creative Chicago. Love. But as you can see, we got a very special guest in the building. I'll let him introduce himself, the one and only D2X.
What's D2X, good, D2X, man. I appreciate you guys for having me. It's been a long time coming.
Definitely.
Since we're supposed to link up. Yeah. So this feel good. Sorry, at the right time.
Hell yeah. Yep. Hey, but to kick off the episode, I feel like it's only right. We talk about, you know, your weekend, right? You had a great weekend. Got a chance to be invited to the Chicago Fire game, and I know you made a big announcement.
Yeah.
So let the people know what that announcement was.
Yeah. So yesterday, last night, at the MLS Chicago Fire game at Soldier Field, I announced my new album that's coming out next month in August. And it was an amazing experience, to be honest. It was my first time at a soccer game in general, a professional soccer game. And then it was my first time at Soldier Field as well. So for that to happen, that was a memorable moment for me. And I didn't know how much depth and detail is at that stadium. You know, I've never been to a stadium in my life. So that was, for that to be the first time. Yeah. And they played my last single that I just put out, Understand. And it sounded amazing throughout the whole entire stadium. And I got so much love from, you know, the people part of the organization. Right. Also, like, just people in the stands. It was like two kids. A friend of mine that that came with me was telling me about the two kids in the stands. They were pointing like, oh, he was just right there. And that was kind of cool because, like, you just don't know, like, what you could do to inspire people. And, you know, I'm happy that I was able to even be in a space like that. And that came from never giving up, the idea of continuing to push my craft. And I just feel like whatever is next to come is just a testament of continuing to keep moving forward. So my plan.
That's big fact.
No, that's crazy, bro. Like, how did that even come up, man? Like, when you hear about shit like that, you're like, damn, like, that's once in a lifetime, bro. Like, for real. Like,
man, I was at work earlier this week. And I was at lunch. At lunch, it was at 11. And literally, I just checked my email. And that's when it happened. So I just had to get ready in 2 days to show up to the game. But yeah, everything, they free food, everything. It was cool.
I saw they gave you the jersey as well.
That too. I'm getting that framed. That was crazy. So it's just like, I don't know, I'm at a point now in my career where, you know, I feel like you gotta be willing to embrace any opportunity that comes your way, especially if it's helpful.
100%.
It doesn't matter, like, the caliber of who it is or whatever. Like, you can't count anybody out. And at the end of the day, like, everyone is on the same journey. And one thing I've learned over time, comparing to, like, when I was first, like, kind of making music and what I used to see, how, like, certain artists would only, like, attach themselves to a certain platform or a certain person.
Yeah,
and it's 100%. Not even about that. It's about the people that are literally taking time out of their day to support you. That's why I'm at, like, I'm about the people. I'm not about the name, the standard, the notoriety. None of that stuff matters at the end of the day, because when we all leave this earth, it's about how many people you were able to impact. That's all 100%. I'm about. So 100%. That's how I gotta keep going.
No, I love that, because, like, one of the things that I always say, and I heard that, you know, people before me say, is, you know, what you appreciate appreciates. You feel me? Yep. So, like, everything that you appreciate, it will appreciate back, you know, value. You feel me? So I think that is huge, man. And, like, we might as well just, like, get into it, bro. So, like, what made you, like, start rapping? And, like, let's get into, like, the beginning that we kind of, like, you know, move on with this journey.
So I started back in 2016, September 8th, I remember, because I just saw it the other day. It was, like, the first time I ever released an audio recording. I was dropping songs on this website called BandLab, just trying to record off the computer. I didn't have a microphone or anything. That was my freshman semester at Western Illinois. How did I really get into music? I was actually playing basketball back in high school. I went to play at St. Rita, St. Rita on 79th and Western on the South Side.
Okay.
And I had a few opportunities to play college ball, but long story short, like pretty much things didn't happen the way exactly I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And with my ACT scores not being as high as I wanted, my GPA was great, but it's just I didn't prepare for it as much as I should have.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking that, you know, I could just run through this and still be able to get into school. And it didn't work that way for me. So once I got on campus, I really thought about walking on, like, the team. I met with one of the assistant coaches at the time. But then he gave me, like, a huge, like, packet full of things that I needed to do, medical, all kind of information. And that's when the realization came, like, do I really want to do this? What benefit am I getting out of this situation? And if I really have the goal of wanting to be a professional athlete, what are the chances and the odds of that? And it wasn't really me being negative. It was just me being realistic.
Because
I was 19, and I was really just trying to figure out, like, what do I want the next 5 years of my life to go? And that's how I got into music pretty much. I didn't even want to do it. I know I loved hip hop, though. I know that whenever I was around my friends, we'd be in a group chat or in class debating about Nas and Jay-Z and Kanye, or even like the newer stuff from like 2016, it was Lil Yachty, 21 Savage, Lil Uzi. Like, we was talking about everything. So it was just like, at that point, I knew that I loved music, and I knew that I felt like I would have a place in it just because I felt like I had a unique story to tell, something that was just authentic. I don't move with a gimmick or anything. It's just more so I just want to do something that I know people could relate to and touch people, just like the music that I was listening to coming up. I was big on Wale, Cole, and that era in the 2010s, Mac Miller. That was my vibe. So it's just like, that's kind of what I get inspired by. And that's what I want to continue to create. And that's pretty much how I got into being a musician.
Why do you like that era so much? You bring up Mac, Jake. Like, why do you like the era so much?
Man, it's like the Spinrilla.
Spinrilla.
We had Spinrilla. What else we got? We had
Dat Piff.
Dat Piff.
Dat Piff. Two Dope Boys.
Exactly.
Hot New Hip Hop.
Hot New Hip Hop.
It was just a time period. 2010, I was in seventh grade at the time. And I remember working out to Friday Night Lights. And I think it was More About Nothing. Okay. Because he got a bunch of About Nothing projects. But that was the one. Those two. And Mac Miller's Best Day Ever. That was, those were like my main projects that I was playing a lot. And it just made me want to really do it once I finally got the opportunity to. And that's what I lean on for inspiration at times, where I'm thinking about putting myself back in a time period where I just wanted to be the best at whatever I was doing. And I feel like that's why those guys stand out as much, because they care about the art and they care about making something that's going to stand the test of time. So
for sure.
That was a great era, honestly, 2010. Like, I'm just thinking back about all the artists that popped during that era, like Big Sean.
They legends now.
Legends now, literally. Legends. And that's what...
Even like, me, too.
Me, yeah, legends. Yeah, Dream Chasers, MMG.
Legends.
That was tough.
Do y'all remember when the Rick Ross, Rich Forever...
Yeah.
Project came out.
Yeah.
John Legend.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That was crazy. Crazy.
The reaction tough. I had to that, man. Like,
that's tough. You know, what a time, what a time. So you mentioned, like, you were putting out music on, you said BandLab, right?
BandLab, SoundCloud.
When you put out, like, those first couple tracks, were you D2X at that time, or were you going by a different name?
Yeah, I was D2X at the time.
How did that name sort of come about as your stage name?
Just my first and last name.
Okay.
I just put the two and two together.
Yeah.
And at first, I was going by D2 times. Like, I didn't tell people that, but that's what I wanted to call myself. I think one time on Twitter, that was my name. And then I'm like, nah, this sounds kind of cliche. So I just stuck to something that sounds more like professional, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then also thought of DMX. And I'm like, all right, it's kind of cool. And also, on top of that, I feel like it's easy to find. It's easy to search, and it's easy to remember.
Yeah.
It's very simple. Sure. That's why I kind of stuck with it. And I'll probably keep it forever at this point.
Sort of follow-up question, and something I sort of always ask our guests, especially our musical guests, What was it like when you sort of decided, like, okay, I've been putting out music. It's all right. I want to keep doing this. I want to get better. At what moment were you like, I actually want to do this? Like, I have the talent. Like, I'm good enough. I have been getting feedback that I'm good enough. But at what moment did it start to, like, click and you really started to take it seriously, quote unquote?
I feel like ever since from the jump, I took it serious.
Okay.
I used to spend so much time in the studio. I used to, back in the past, I used to record at this place. You guys might know it. It's a Complex Studios. It's kind of on, it's a little bit towards like where De La Salle is, okay. Like that direction of the city. And I used to go up there a lot, and that's when I started meeting a lot of artists. And I think at that time is when I really started taking it serious because I had more access to the studio. So I would say maybe like 2019, going into like the pandemic is when I felt like things were clicking. Okay. I feel like when I put out the song I did called Whoop Whoop and then Go, when I put those two out, yeah, I felt like
great. Those are standout.
I felt like, and people, if you know, you know, that was a good time. And when I felt like when I did that is when I started really challenging myself to like rap.
Okay.
But I felt like, I really felt like things really started taking a different kind of shift to just a higher level was after the pandemic, like when I dropped The Color Blue. That's when things started really changing and I started really going from a serious musician into a serious musician plus a serious like brand.
And that's when
things are like been going better since, I would say.
That's dope.
See, I like how you bring that up because that's a perfect segue. So you were talking about how you used to ball in high school and, you know, you had college offers. I remember when you dropped The Color Blue, the trailer to that.
You remember that?
You was in the weight room, you know, getting it in. You was on the bike. And like, how was, you know, doing that? And like, what were you trying to channel? Like when you were, you know, dropping that?
Man, that was a great question. To be honest, that was me literally trying to put myself back into the past.
Really?
Back when I was, you know, 2012, 2013, 14, 15, when I was in high school playing basketball. And that was my life from the fall, the winter, spring, summer. All year long, I was playing basketball from AAU to, you know, regular season. And I went back to my old high school. The crazy thing is that spot was such a great place for filming because that was a new athletic facility that they built. We've had, St. Rita has had a lot of professional athletes that came through from, you know, guys that I played basketball with in high school that are that went pro to major league baseball players, and even football players that played in the NFL that went to the school. So someone, a part of the alumni, funded the facility, like $2 million.
Damn.
So when I saw that, it was perfect timing. That spot didn't look like that for when we was working out. Like, we had an old weight room, but that one was dope. And I'm like, this is a perfect place to shoot. And I got in contact with my old high school, and they were all for it. And it was just a real moment for me because I remember those times when I was there and certain things wasn't going my way how I wanted, and I was stressed out. So it was a full circle moment for me to come back to my high school. I met with one of my assistant coaches that was with me back in 2015-16. He's the head coach there now. His name is Coach Russell, by the way. And meeting him and going through the locker room and just around the entire school. And I even saw the old security guard that used to watch me get on the bus.
He's still there.
And like, he gave me a book, all kind of stuff back in high school, giving me all kind of game. He played the saxophone. Funny guy, but it was crazy, man. That was my idea to go back in time pretty much and kind of show like the growth from where I was to where I'm trying to be. And I felt like that was important for me to introduce on my first project because I want people to know kind of like the back line and the backdrop of who I am, and then we can continue to move forward, you know, in the future. So,
did a lot of memories and like feelings come up when you was there?
For sure.
Yeah, I know.
I went back to my old spot where my locker was, where my number was. I wore number 35. I was a big KD fan, but man, it was amazing. And I wanted it. I wanted it to look kind of like a Nike Gatorade kind of commercial, and I felt like we executed that pretty well. So shout out Chris Vergara and.
Shout out Chris. Yeah, he's really close with us too. That's bro. That's you bring up KD. Like, what are your favorite like hooping shoes?
Man, I got a lot, but to be honest, I had KD's I think first or second shoe, but my favorite hooping shoes, to be honest. I guess I got to go with the KDs, man. I've had some LeBrons. Uh-huh. I've had, I think, a few pairs of Kobe's. One pair. Had, like, three pairs of LeBrons. Trying to think. I've had a few pairs of Jordans, sixes, and the twos. But, no, the KDs was nice because they were, like, light. They look cool to me. Yeah, the colorways was crazy.
He had one of the best colorways.
Yeah, he definitely did. Playing AAU, like that's a lot of the shoes we used to get was like bronze and KDs
and team shoes and stuff.
So yeah, it was dope.
What position did you play?
Two guard.
Okay, so you got that burn.
Hey, 35% from the field in high school, all conference.
Come on now,
that's tough.
Catholic league, but the crazy thing is, this is like when I was younger, I was like maybe like in middle school, I was a lot taller than everybody. Like probably when I was in, I think I was in fifth, sixth grade, I was like 5'8" or something like that. It was you pretty tall, taller than everybody else at that point. And then, so I played more like forward wing, but then as you get older, you know, people start growing, the game start changing. Yeah, I start playing a two, playing on a wing, and then, yeah, like that was a good time. Like high school was fun, man. Basketball. I'm just trying to think of a few places we went. We went to the Basketball Hall of Fame, played in the Hoop Hall Classic in Massachusetts.
Damn.
In Springfield, Massachusetts. We played there. We played in the Bronx. We went to Hawaii.
Damn, that's crazy.
Sophomore year. Went to the Bahamas my senior year.
Damn,
So basketball then took me all over the world. And
that's dope.
Yeah, music.
It's going to do the same thing. So what are like the similarities you feel like from basketball to like music as far as like how you approach it?
Yeah.
You know?
To be honest, I feel like I pick off from what I've learned, what I didn't do properly with basketball. And I still this day, I still remind myself like, nah, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you used to do. And this is what got you to this spot, like eliminating distractions. Always continuing to appreciate like the blessings that come your way. Like if it's an opportunity, if it's a cosign or a certain amount of, you know, love or plays or whatever it could be, like regarding a song, like appreciating it but continuing to still move forward. Don't ever get caught in the moment, but appreciate the moment. So it's just like I'm at a point now where I'm just trying to continue to balance the different, like balance, like self improvement and self appreciation.
Hell yeah!
And that's where I'm at now in my life. Like those two things are like very important.
So, no, that's perfect because I love that because it makes so much sense when we talk about the color blue because you've done so much things as far as like showing the background of like how basketball, you know, gave you this type of outlook. And I feel like that goes hand in hand with that album and the stuff you were saying. And it makes so much sense. Like, you even had the cover art of, you know, people at the playground, you know, hooping. You feel me? So, like, I think that's so perfect. And now we're going to, you know, segue into the album. Like, what is your favorite, like, track on there? Like, what do you think, like, speaks to you the most on that album? Because to me, it's Hughes. That's my favorite.
You know what's crazy? First, I want to speak on that one. Mm-hmm. It's crazy about Hughes because I loved it, but also it gave me so much trouble to record over when I did it because it's a loud sample, but I didn't expect people to like it as much as I thought they would. I liked it, but I didn't know. Like it was new. It was different.
Yeah.
And it was a different way to start off a project. It didn't start off like abruptly. It was more like smooth, but it was a strong start because tech, like, to be honest, the intro of the album was supposed to be Blue Like Nights. Yeah, I'm saying it right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Forget my own track. I think that's the right title. But yeah, that was supposed to be the beginning. And then it would have started into Hughes and the other tracks. But I'm like, nah, I want to start off just straight off the gate.
Yeah.
Just rapping. But to answer your question, my favorite track on The Color Blue would be the outro, Picasso Blue.
Really? Sorry, okay. Basquiat,
because actually that was the last song I did. But on top of that, I found myself getting better throughout the sessions, throughout the project from the beginning to the end. And then the quality started getting better too, because we started getting better equipment from the beginning of the album. So over time, like, things just kept getting better and better. And I felt like that was me at my most purest form. But also, like, that's when I felt like I started really getting polished at being a songwriter, an artist. And I'm very proud of that record because, like, it's like 6 minutes long. And I just put everything out on the line. And that one is the one that sticks to me the most. I didn't cry to that song. Like, I can't even count how many times.
That's what's up. Yeah. Hey, those are the best ones, man. Those are the best ones.
You got to be vulnerable, man. You really got to look within. You know, speaking on the journey, so you mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of improvement as you sort of went along the process of making the project and putting it out. What would you say was, like, the toughest part or the part that you had the most struggles on? Was it recording? Was it the rollout? Was it, you know, teaming up with the engineers? Any sort of particular moment or, you know, instance that you could pinpoint is like, damn, this was tough, but it was a hurdle that we had to sort of overcome.
To be honest, I put the album together, but I was recording in pieces. But I didn't have it. I had that title in mind, The Color Blue. Like, well, it was first, it was called The Color Blue Theory.
Okay.
I wrote that down in my notes back in like 2019. Didn't know what the meaning was, but over time, it was me, like, the hard part to answer your question was like me continually, like, sticking to the theme of what I wanted to do, but also make it more of like a natural thing. And that's why I called it The Color Blue, because it was more so like an expression of the moods and emotions that were, you know, throughout the tracks. Because it's like lo-fi, little moody. You got like lo-fi jazz and you got some soul samples in there. And then also the other thing that was pretty, I would say, challenging for me was just the pandemic in general. I had got sick that November 2020. So I was recording from September, October, November. I got sick, so I was out for a month and a half. Couldn't record, couldn't do anything. Then I came back December, January, and that's when I finished the album. So I did the album like 3 or 4 months.
3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
At what point were you like, I'm done. Like, I can't keep touching this. Like, I can't keep going back and being, you know, nitpicky or, you know, being a perfectionist and making sure, you know, dotting your I's, crossing your T's. At which point were you like, nope, it's ready? Was that tough? I'm sure it was, but.
Yeah, but I think with me, I kind of know how I want to structure my projects. And the reason why is because the first thing that I do is I always work on production first. Before I write anything, I work on production and I work on it for months. But with that project, I was more so like just finding little things that I was interested in and putting it together. But I feel like the way you know you're done is when I feel like when you feel like you've told the story of this audio novel that you put together. And I felt like how I did that was like every title had a meaning to it. And I just wanted to tell that story, like, of where I was at in my life at the time, the things that I went through college, the motivation that I had to really want to be great at anything, and especially like telling my stories like on basketball, like Hoop Dreams. Like, that was one of the last songs I did. Yeah. I wrote that in Picasso Blue the same day. And I think what motivated me to put that project together was just I had a chance to finally show people that I'm more than just these singles that I'm putting out. I could actually make an album.
Yeah.
So I knew from the jump, you know, when I wanted to end it. I knew I wanted it to be 13 songs. I knew I wanted it to have two interludes to kind of split the project in certain points where people could still, like, enjoy it but get a little break.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I knew it was going to be 13 tracks from the jump. And, yeah, it just so came
it was
together
all sort
like
of
that,
planned man. And exactly. orchestrated. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's sick. That's dope.
Yeah, I want to talk about one more track before we get into the new stuff.
Yeah.
Adult Swim, bro.
Oh, man.
That one's one of my favorite, too.
Yeah.
I just love the feel of that, and that makes me feel like some, you know, Mac Miller around that time, like 2010 around that time. Like, let's talk about that. And Ro, he produced that, right?
Well, he was on a feature.
Okay,
the guy that produced it is my guy Xander Miller. He's from he lives in Toronto right now, but he's from Canada.
Okay,
and man, that kid is talented. Mm-hmm. Like, he made Picasso Blue, he made Adult Swim. Mm-hmm. And now he done made a whole bunch of other records on my new project. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, he made that kind of vibe, and I'm like, oh, that's what I need. Like, hell, I need something that's going to push me to, you know, do something a little different. I've never hopped on like a house kind of, you know, house inspired kind of record, but that came from Chicago.
Hell yeah. Exactly.
So it's just like, it didn't make me feel weird at that point, because like, you've had like people like Frankie Knuckles and like back in that era. And I'm like, nah, this is dope. I want to challenge myself to do something different. And it felt universal.
Hell yeah.
And now it's like my top streaming song on my Spotify.
Hell yeah. I love it. I'm telling you, I love it.
Like, yeah. Fun fact about that song that I've never really got a chance to tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing that inspired me to make that record was What's the Use on Swimming.
Wow,
if you listen to that one and you listen to Adult Swim, you can kind of tell the similarities.
Damn,
so that's kind of why I threw the Mac Miller line in there, because, I was inspired by Mac in general. But even on that record, that was inspiration. And number two, the other thing was, I actually came up with, like, the majority of that hook, and I gave it the role because I can't sing. I heard the version of me singing on it, like, turn this off. But it was dope because it also gave me opportunity. Like, it gave me confidence. I'm like, oh, I could actually write songs.
That's what I'm saying.
I can't be a songwriter.
Yeah, songwriter. Yeah,
he added his little twist to it, but it was dope. That was fun, and actually, I can't wait to perform that song.
Really. Yeah, no, for real. And let's segue into that. We're talking about performing. You have a performance coming up for These Days. Like, what are you planning on, you know, you planning on bringing people out? Like, what are you planning on doing?
Nah, just all me, man. This is my first show in a few years since the pandemic. So I just want to go into it just being me. To be honest, I feel like the fact that I've given myself time over the years to, like, work on my craft, to learn new things, to actually study other musicians from all different kinds of eras. It's given me confidence to know that, like, all I have to do is just operate as being myself in any room that I walk in. So it's like, if it's a show, if it's an interview, if it's a session, or I'm doing a video with somebody or some opportunity that comes the way, like, just continue to be you, bro. Like,
hell yeah.
That's why people like art in general.
Exactly.
It's listening to different things that they like. Yep. It's the same thing. It's 100%. Like, we don't go and, like, drink a bottle of Sprite and wanted it to taste like Coca-Cola.
Yo,
like,
God,
we want Sprite today.
you know what I mean?
So it's just like, all you have to do is be you, and that's all I'm planning on doing. I just want to rock out. I want to do all of the records that people love, and I'm going to have fun as well. That's another thing. Like, everything doesn't have to always be so stressful or serious. Like, we got to also remember, like, music is fun too.
Exactly.
You can have fun, man. You don't have to.
Exactly.
Don't be so down on yourself if things aren't going the way you want it to go, or, you know what I mean? Like, if you mess up on a few lines or whatever it is, just do the best that you can, and whatever comes after that is the best thing to do. So I'm very excited for it, for sure.
For real. No, that's what's up. And it's this Saturday.
This Saturday, yep.
What's the date again? 7/15.
Shubas Tavern.
Saturday, Shubas Tavern.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. But, I'm ready.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And let's talk about your new project, man. I don't know how much you want to get into it, but like, you know, let's just get into it. It's coming out in August.
Yep.
So, like, if you could just briefly just go over a little bit.
Yeah, I won't give the name yet.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we're trying to still put some things together for the rollout. I feel like I've been in rollout mode, though, over the past few years.
Uh-huh.
But one thing I will say about it is, like, like I said to you guys earlier, like, I know it's cliche when people, you know, kind of excited about something that's new, like, you know, oh, this better than my old stuff. Mm-hmm. Nah, it's just a different place that I'm in. But one thing I will say, this one is a very, like, a huge step up from the first project, from the jump, like, from my lyricism to the storytelling to the structuring. It's more it's a more cohesive album. I'm tapping into just into different, like, soundscapes. It's still my style, still soulful. A lot of jazz, like,
hell yeah,
live instrumentation over the album, but it's just on a larger scale. I was inspired by listening to a lot of 1970s records from Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, to Al Green. I played a lot of that because what I call inspiration from even Nina Simone and Frank Sinatra. I could keep going. Miles Davis. Like, I grew inspiration from that era because the number one thing that they always had in mind is actually putting as much effort into one record. That's what they did back then. That's why a lot of albums was like 8-9 songs or 10, you know, because you only could fit so many records on an LP to get it on vinyl and all of those things. But the beauty of it was you had more quality records instead of like a 23, 26 track album that really is just more of like a streaming game. I made this album is 10 tracks, by the way. I wanted it to be short, ooh, but cohesive, but also have depth. Like, there's no song on an album that's less than 2 minutes. So it's 4 minute tracks on there. We bring the three verses back. But I'm excited about it because I just want people to hear the growth. It's beautiful. And when you guys hear the intro, man, that's the one I'm very, very excited about because it's different. So, man, I think I covered it with that one. It's going to be amazing.
I'm excited. No, we're excited, man. Yeah. And we'll kind of, like, you know, end on that note, man. Like, we appreciate you coming We appreciate you for real being yourself. We appreciate you putting your all into the music and putting yourself to the music because, you know, a lot of people don't do that. And I love that you do that and you're going to continue to do that and continue to rock with other platforms and all that. Because when we talk to people up here, that's what we always tell them, like, go over there, do stuff over there. All this stuff is just helping you out in the long run. And we just appreciate you coming over here, rocking with us. And, you know, we're going to keep that energy when we see you at the show Saturday. Yeah. And then, you know, when the album drops, bro.
Yeah. Cool. But
D2X, man, we appreciate you. Show coming at Shuba's Tavern. Make sure y'all pop in,
Tap in, new album on the way.
Yes, sir.
And we in season. By the way, I'm dropping a new song this month. It's called Faith.
Stop playing Faith. Let's go, baby.
Hey, you already know what it is. The Ghetto Flower Fresh Flowers podcast. We are out.
Appreciate y'all.
Peace.
Cut.